and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
Well, looking forward to Christmas, and it reminds me of, I don't know what the traditions you guys have. I've been speaking to some nationalities. In fact, I've been speaking to mostly South Africans here today. Show me your hand if you're not from South Africa, is probably the term. There we go. Okay, we're still in the minority here just now, but you are growing. Everyone I spoke to about 10 minutes ago, all comes from South Africa. And well done on winning the Rugby World Cup, everyone. Well done. Thank you for not letting Scotland out of the group. Thank you. We were in your group there with Ireland. That was a difficult one to get out of. But a big well done. But looking forward to Christmas, there's one of the British traditions I like. I don't know if you have that. But the Christmas crackers. Do you have Christmas crackers? You know what I'm talking about? Who has no idea what I'm talking about? Well, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Those things on the table, and you pull them, and there's usually, depending on how much money you gave out for the Christmas cracker, you know, if you get the budget jobs, you're lucky to get a hat, really. But if you put a little bit more time and expense into it, you're going to get a reward, usually with a little toy. But one of the things always in there is a joke. You know, one of those dad jokes. One of those really bad dad jokes. Well, I'm going to give you one that you might like to use. Okay, so maybe you've heard this. I don't know if you have or not. But it's a story about when people died and went to heaven. And Peter is at the welcome. He's like the steward on the door. He's the welcoming team. And as people die, he speaks to them and so on and so forth. And eventually he says, Jesus, Jesus, come here a second, Jesus. And he says, what is it, Peter? He says, I need to go to the toilet quickly. Could you take over the welcoming ministry? And sure, anything to help. What do I do? He goes, well, what you do is when people arrive, you have a little chat with them, find out about their life, and then let them in. Okay, no problem at all. So people start arriving. They're a little bit surprised to meet Jesus on the front door. And but eventually, this old man comes, and he says, hello. And Jesus says, oh, hello. He goes, tell me a little about your life. He goes, oh, well, I was a carpenter. He goes, all right, really? Mm, yes. And he said, did you have any children? He goes, yes, I had a son. He goes, oh, tell me about him. He goes, well, see, my son was really special. He goes, oh, really? He goes, he had holes in his hands and holes in his feet. He goes, he looks at the man and he goes, Father? And the man to Jesus and says, Pinocchio? You got to use, come on everyone, you got to, that's better than what you're going to find in the cracker. There we go. Well, that was today's message. Shall I just close in prayer? Father, we thank you we can have a laugh because it is joy in the house of the Lord. I thank you, God, you did not come to bring us religion, but you came to bring life. And I pray that as we reflect on the year that's gone and take some time over these couple of weeks or so where things tend to wind down, Father, that we would have the ability to focus in on you and maybe just rediscover what's maybe got lost in amongst busyness and stress and maybe some sadness this year, maybe some heaviness, maybe some stuff that hasn't been so all joyful and bright. Lord, life tends to have the mixed bag going on. And I do pray, Father, in the middle of it all, we would find you. Find an encounter with you that really does change our lives. Maybe for the very first time, someone's going to encounter you. Maybe it is just that refreshing bringing back into focus, coming back to our first love this evening. Father, I pray for every person here, every person online, every person part of the church. Father, people who as yet don't know you, that this year would be a moment of connecting with you in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to us just for a few moments under the title of the why of Christmas. The why of Christmas. We all know Jesus came. If we went out on the square today and asked people why are the lights up, why is the trees up, why are we getting some time off work, everyone would say, because it's Christmas. But if we then started to dig a little deeper and say, well, why did Jesus come? Why did this all happen? We would receive many different answers, wouldn't we? People might even go, well, I don't know. I just know it can happen every year. But you know what? The Word of God makes things clear. It's people that mess things up, make things complicated. Actually, you come to the Bible, and it makes many things clear. So, okay, Audrey, no one noticed. And so I want to come to that question and say, well, what does the Bible show us and tell us about Christmas and the why of it? Luke chapter 4, 16 to 19. And it says this, and he came to Nazareth, that's Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." So this is Jesus standing up and saying, hey world, this is why I came. And he puts it succinctly for us. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. So the very first thing that we see of the why of Christmas is to bring good news from heaven. It's good news. See, many people have misunderstood that. They think Jesus came to give them bad news about how he's come to basically be the party pooper in their life. He's come to bring religion. He's come to take the fun out of things. He's come to bring us rules and regulations. Maybe, like in Germany, he's come to give us a tax system so that he somehow can pay into that tax system. In Germany, there's a church tax, which gives us some rights and almost member of a club somehow. And so it reeks of he came to bring religion, but actually the Bible says Jesus came to bring good news to us. In Proverbs chapter 16, 24, it says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." How much more when the good news reaches the parts of a person that only God can reach. In John 12, verse 47, Jesus said, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." It's good news that Jesus came. It's good news that we needed to hear. But that's probably not what we would hear if we said to someone today, why did Jesus come? He came to bring good news. But how many of you know good news is only good news if you know how bad your situation is? If you don't appreciate your situation as being bad, then it's just news. If I know I'm drowning, if I know I'm struggling, and somebody comes and says, I'm here to rescue you, that is good news. But if I have no idea about my predicament, then it's just, well, that's really good. You're telling me you're a savior, but I don't really need one. Who goes around telling people that they need a savior? Who goes around telling people that they're in deep need of rescue? In other words, who goes around telling people the bad news? It's not meant to be us. The Holy Spirit, it says, tells us in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit is speaking to people all of the time in a way that only he can. And he's telling them, you need a savior. He's able to make them aware of their need. You see, sometimes Christians think it's our job to go around telling our family member, you're a sinner and you need saved. Actually, it's our job, according to the Great Commission, to partner with Jesus in bringing the good news. Because the Holy Spirit's already pointing out the bad news. It's our job to focus on the good. He can make even that most distant family member, even that most distant work colleague, even the one you think may never respond. Believe you me, the Holy Spirit has his ways of getting to people. I became a Christian because of a meeting that was started in the little town where I grew up. It was started in the evening. My sister, who'd become a Christian before me, tried to get me to go to the church that was meeting in the morning, a traditional church, which, other than being able to sit in the balcony, I found boring. So I just loved the fact I could hide up in the balcony. That was the attraction to get me there. But eventually, when this other meeting began in the evening, where it was a bit more relaxed than like our meeting, I went along. And I'm very thankful for that meeting because it changed my life. It's where I really started to connect with God and my journey as a Christian really began. The pastor who had started that meeting, his story always encourages me, and I want to encourage you with it as well, because he became a Christian because he went on a rescue mission to rescue his brother-in-law from this church that had made him become all weird in their family's eyes. He'd become a born-again Christian, and the family were like, we are a good Catholic family. This is not on. You need to go and rescue this guy from this church. So he said, I will go on behalf of the family, and I will go and I'll speak to that pastor at the end of the meeting, and I'll rescue our brother, my brother-in-law, on behalf of the family. So he went to the meeting. And he stands at the back of the meeting, armed, folded, body language saying, I'm not one of you. I'm just here to rescue you. And during the praise and worship, some people came up and started giving testimony. And they said, I was praying and God answered and helped me. And they gave several testimonies of what God had done in their life. And on the inside, he was starting to have a reaction to this, saying, huh, I've prayed to you all my life. Never helped me once. And all these people just being very skeptical. And then a gentleman comes up and takes the microphone and says, just as we've been praying and worshiping and hearing these testimonies, I really feel impressed in my heart to say there's someone here today, and you've just been saying in your heart, you've heard all of these testimonies, but God's never helped you when you've prayed. He says, what you need to know is this. God says to you, you've always been praying in the name of Maria, not in the name of my son. And in that moment, this pastor described, it was like taking, in his words, a shower of love. It was just like he felt the presence of God all over him. And on the inside, his response was, yes, yes. And he gave his life to Jesus in that meeting. He then had to leave that meeting and go back to the family. So, mission accomplished? Well, not quite. But here was a man who was determined not to believe, determined to not have anything to do with, and God found a way. So I want to encourage you, over Christmas, maybe you're going to be family and friends and colleagues and aunts and uncles and cousins who might be saying, so do you still go to that church or whatever else? Sometimes there's some skeptics around us. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit has ways of reaching people that you and I don't. And it's good news that we've to bring as Jesus did. Secondly, it says this, he sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Maybe your translation talks about release to the prisoners. Well, does that mean that we all go to prison and say, guys, it's Christmas. Jesus has come and we have to start our prison ministry by telling you you're out. Come on, everyone. It says here in Isaiah, he's come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Everybody out now. That's it. It's Christmas time. Well, of course it doesn't mean that. What does it mean? Well, actually, we were all prisoners. The whole human race was prisoners. Prisoners to what? To the law. To the rules, the regulations that were brought over 600 legalistic religious rules, regulations, and observations to be held so that we could be good enough to even come into God's presence. It's a bit like, you see, if you go on the grass and you're standing on the grass thinking good, and then you turn around and you see a sign on the grass that says, do not come onto the grass. Stay off the grass. You suddenly know that what you were doing without that knowledge is actually wrong. And the Bible tells us that's why the law was given to us. The law was given to show us you're actually missed the mark. You've actually missed God's standard and you're not good enough to reach it. Look at all of this you need to do. It was given to us as a teacher to show us and to lead us to realize that predicament. If this is God's standard, I now know I'm guilty of all of this. How do I match up? And we realize our situation because the law was given. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. In other words, go back to your school days. It wasn't like Jesus came and said, tell you what, the exam of life, we're just going to, that exam, no, don't worry about it. That exam in maths, that exam in this, you don't need, we're just going to remove exams. No, he goes, the exam is still to be sat, but I'm going to sit it for you. And I'm going to pass with flying colors. So Jesus said, why did I come? Did I come to suddenly remove God's standards? No. I came to say, they still are God's standards. You still will never ever reach God's standards. The exam is impossible for you, but it shows you your predicament, doesn't it? And then he says, but guess what? I've come with good news. And what's the good news then, Jesus? I'm going to sit the exam and I've sat the exam for you and I'm giving you the pass mark. Now that's good news, isn't it? Imagine that, being at university and you're just going, I have got no idea. I remember, believe you me, I remember being at university, and there was one class called Pricing of Securities and Assets. Anyone do finance in this room here? Anyone know? Okay, don't take that. Leave that to other people. I was quite good at finance, but this particular aspect of the course, I did not enjoy. And we were supposed to be so happy. We had this world professor, brilliant guy teaching us, who apparently taught Deutsche Bank, who put algorithms and whatever they are, these things, models in place for financial analysts to use in the world markets. And there he was teaching me on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and it was flying over my head. I was so glad that they marked things in that kind of ongoing way throughout the year, and some project work counted towards my final grade, as well as the final exam, because throughout the year, I was in a group with two geniuses from Singapore. And I just, you know, got on their tailcoats and said, I'm with you. And so I kind of free rode, I honestly did, I just kind of free rode on their genius levels in this particular class. But that only accounted for 50%, and the exam was looming, and I had to learn this stuff. And it was, you know, I had a folder this thick to learn. And we said to the professor, can you give us an idea of what's going to come up in the exam? And he goes, no, just need to learn it all. And I went, I have absolutely no chance. Can you imagine getting that big, thick book of 600 legalistic religious laws and regulations from God and saying, learn it all, fulfill it all, sunshine. And if, even if it's 599, I'll fail you on the one that you mess up. Jesus comes along to you the night before that exam and says, you know, that's pricing of assets exam tomorrow, Liam. I'm going to go in there and sit it for you. The joy on my face would have been so big, I tell you. Now, that's exactly what Jesus did. The exam, I'm going to sit. I didn't come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. Ephesians 2:14-16, it says, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Why did Jesus come? Why Christmas? Why did he be born? Tells us there in Galatians. One aspect is that he might redeem those who were under the law. The law was going to keep you and I down and prisoner, like a foot on the back of our neck, and we couldn't get up. And Jesus came and gave us freedom from that. In Romans 8:2-4, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. See, Christmas is not about Jesus coming with a message saying, you need to be better. You need to be more religious. It's actually him coming saying, look at what God has done. Our focus too much as Christians is what must I do for God? The Bible's all about what God has done for you. We really need to get our focus on the thing, on the other way around. That's what most people hear, because I need to be better. I need to pray more. How many of you are already thinking about your New Year's resolutions? I know I really need to get this sorted out. I'll enjoy Christmas, and then I'll confess it all, and then on the 1st of January, I'll start again. You've already had some of those thoughts, I'm sure. And you go and buy a nice new diary journal book, thinking with a shiny book will make it all nice. Well, that's nice to have a new book. But it's not about what we do, it's about what God's already done. When I was coming here, I came on a plane. Guys, or maybe some of you flying off to sunnier climes over the next few weeks and you're going to go on a plane. The only way that plane gets off the ground is because one law supersedes a law that's already existing. We know about the law of gravity, which is keeping us down just now. But unless there's another law called the law of aerodynamics and thrust, we're going to stay on the ground. So it's not that one law, gravity, is done away with. It's just another law kicks in that supersedes. So there is a law of sin and of death. Every time you sin, something dies. Potential dies. Something of the life of God is done away with. It's not without consequence on one level. But there's another law called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which sets you free from the law that would keep you down. Now, I know we all know this. We've been set free. I don't need to keep the law. I don't need to be legalistic. And we'll all say a loud amen, hallelujah, on the inside right now. But Paul had to write to Christians who also had known this. And he wrote to the Galatians to say, what in the world are you doing going back to thinking you need to be religious and legal? And he says in Galatians 2:16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. In Galatians 5:4, he goes further and says, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. His whole message to them is, why do you think you were saved by grace, but now can continue trying to impress God by trying to be legalistically religious in the way that you live? Christmas reminds us Jesus came to bring us complete freedom as prisoners from a religious, legalistic mindset and lifestyle. For the balance of that, you need to read Corinthians. They really understood it. And then they went party, party, party. Now, Jesus is not against parties. He was at lots of them. But the kind of parties the Corinthians were having were way above and beyond where they should have been. So they used their understanding of, I'm set free, to basically sin their little hearts out. Now, that's not what we're saying. And what we're saying, though, is we need to realize we are no longer to be legalistic and religious because Jesus sat the test. Thirdly, Luke 4:18 says, and recovery of sight to the blind. Now, we do see in the life of Jesus many times he healed blind people, physical blindness. So we do believe in physical healing, but it can't just be that I only came for those physical blindness. He's come to give all people recovery of sight. It was John Newton who wrote the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. He says, I once was blind, but now I see. He actually became physically blind. I think he actually wrote the song when he was blind. But what he was saying is, what I see is what life is actually all about. I see things differently now. I have a different perspective on life now. I have a perspective of God now on life, upon truth, Jesus, you've helped me see things as to how they really are. In Psalm 119, 130, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? That God's word brings light. That God's word brings understanding. In our culture, in our day and age, that conviction that you've just nodded to will be tested more than you can possibly imagine. I've already said to you that God's word makes things simple, makes things clear. Why did Jesus come? We could go out today and get all these different opinions, but we come back to the Bible for, show me why. Bring me light. Bring me illumination. Bring me illumination on why things are. So let me give you an example as we close and land our plane a bit today. Many people get very full of complication when it comes to the questions of our day. I saw a website the other day there back in the UK. National Health Service asked people, what gender are you? And then gave them 13 options on a drop-down menu. We've made it a bit complicated, haven't we? You come to God's Word and it says there's man and woman. Now, if inside your heart just now you just said, yeah, but I read a report from, well, yeah, but it can't be. That shows you that you maybe don't quite believe what you just said you did believe. Because we've just put the writings of Professor so-and-so or the YouTube video of expert so-and-so on the same level as what God's Word says. Or even elevated it. And if you go down that road with God's Word, my question to you is, where does it end? Which bit of truth are you going to hold on to, and which are you going to say, well, that's not my truth? Jesus said, I came to help you see, to help you bring light into the darkness of the world that you find yourself in. If you go into a room and it's dark, the very first thing you do is put the light on. The reason you put the light on is you don't want to bump into the furniture. You need to find your way around the room. You don't want to trip up. You don't want to get hurt. The very first thing you do is put the light on. And when we come into the room of life, I want to say to you, the very first thing you need to do is put the light on. God, show me. Let me see. And the light and that you bring, and the perspective that you bring, I accept is the truth. The complications that man brings, the complications that life throws up, the questions which seem so deep and complex, God, when I come to your word and I find light and simplicity, your words bring light. It gives understanding to the simple. Jesus came at Christmas. We all have holidays. We all put the lights on. But he's screaming out to us saying, my word wants to lead you and bring light to the darkness and the confusion. But you need to accept my word is truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the light. I am the life. And that challenge, that expression of the why he came speaks as loud today as it ever did. We can get all nativity'd up. We can get all Christmas caroled up. But I beg you, bring the light of God's word into the confusion and the life that you see around you. Jesus came to bring light and sight to help you see how things really are. Luke 4:18, he says he came to set free those who are oppressed, to lift the weight of life. And Jesus said in one place, come to me, all who are weary and burdened and stressed out, come to me. Just go to him and cast, the Bible says, cast your cares upon him. The Bible only uses that word twice there. And when they cast upon a donkey, Jesus said, see everything of your stress, your struggles, your strain, just throw it all on me. I can carry it. I can handle it. Come, bring it on. How do you do that? You go in prayer. And you say, God, I'm just giving this to you. I'm casting it upon you. I'm coming to you because you came to set free those who are oppressed and pressured and down. Then the final thing he said was to proclaim the year of the Lord's grace. Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. He fulfilled the law, but he gives us grace. Is that not good? That's good news. Amen. Pray for me. Just one more to pray with me. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for a resounding thank you in our hearts. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus there would be the spirit of revelation amongst us today. That we would see. And just as those first kings came and visited and bowed down with worship, we would also respond in adoration, in worship, glory in the highest to the Son of God. King Jesus, born God amongst men, come to lead, come to guide, come to show, come to release, come to say, grace, 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 I've done it all. You are released, you are free. Do what you came to do, Jesus. And I pray that from the most mature Christian to the youngest today, we would have a fresh revelation of the truth of that Christmas message today in Jesus' name. And if there's someone here in the room or someone online who as yet does not know, but I pray the revelation of the Spirit would be given to them to see, to understand, to believe. Just like my first pastor said, yes to the love of God, yes to the revelation that came his way. I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us all this day. In Jesus' mighty, powerful name, we pray. Amen.